Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella on my left.
Hey, everybody.
Sean Finnegan on my right.
How's it going?
And today, we are going to be talking about some stuff that you guys sent in. First of all, this was from Bodum Reaper, who brought up the Days of the Dawning. And this is potentially the next Festival of the Lost event. Mm-hmm. We'll find out more soon. But we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about Activision being serious about making movies and whether or not Destiny is a potential candidate. And we're also going to talk about the MLG acquisition and what that means for Destiny. Right off the bat, let's go right into this Day of the Dawning thing, because we were just talking about it off the air, sort of. And what this is...
Yeah, where did it start?
So we got this email like, hey, sign on early in January and you'll get 15 Motes of Light and 15 Strange Coins for doing so. And so a lot of us did that. But it also said, you'll get an emblem, a Rising Light emblem, for the upcoming event, Days of the Dawning. So this YouTube user, a lot of you probably know him, More Console, kind of, had this crazy idea. And he did some data mining to kind of, put the pieces together about how there's 8 letters where you got to go talk to, Petrovenge and some of the other key characters in the tower. And he thinks, this is speculation,
just to stress that as a warning, right? Data mining, mm-hmm. which is from passcode, one you'll all remember was there was a consumable that in King's Fall you would increase drops, and everybody freaks mm-hmm. out, and that wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. So this it's unreliable, but it's fascinating to talk about. So.
Yeah, it's speculation. So he thinks that you're going to get these 8 letters, which he got through data mining. It wasn't really clear how he did that. But that they will result in the 8 new exotics, including armor pieces, basically. Various exotic armor pieces and the exotic Sparrow.
Well, that's the implication, right? There are 8 missing exotics in the game right now. There just happens to be 8 letters. Could these be correlated? We're not sure. Mm-hmm. We don't know. That's where the speculation lies. We mm-hmm. do know that there are these 8 quests. From who and what they do, we don't actually know. I mean, not even quests, letters. Mm-hmm. We know that there are 8 letters. We don't know that they start quests, but it just seems coincidental that there's 8 missing exotics and 8 letters. They seem probably
pretty
correlated.
Like it would be quests. I do think it's good speculation. Mm-hmm. I have a exotic Leg Engram that I'm storing in the vault for my warlock.
Yeah.
Has been sitting there taking up space forever. And actually this week, Xur is selling the helmet engram, I think. So save that one up too.
That's a legacy though, isn't it? That's a legacy, isn't it?
Oh, is it just a...
Be careful.
Right,
be careful.
I didn't look. My friend mentioned it on...
Yeah, just be careful that you don't buy those legacy engrams that are more expensive for some crazy reason.
Pointless. But anyway, I do think it's good speculation.
The question is, with the size and scope of what we think that this event is going to be, similar to Festival of the Lost, which was, a couple-day-long event, and it's, based around sort of a holiday, Is it prudent to reveal 8 exotics? Like, that's a kind of significant chunk of gear.
Yeah, but it's all armor, though. So, mm-hmm. you know, you look at it as it's almost, we're going on 5 months or mm-hmm. whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
I mean, this sounds really...
use some new gear.
The idea that it's letters and that, like, it might contain more lore, that kind of excites me more than the actual reward cool. of exotics.
It is a regular exotic helmet, Engram. So the legacy is primary.
Good. Oh, it's a primary legacy?
Yeah.
Maybe I can finally get those two from Prison of Elders that I never got.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Queensbreaker's bow.
Yeah, I didn't get the Queensbreaker and Dregs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
can you get that out of the Engram, though? I guess you could. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning it's so weird for me to think of that way because I did all that out of prison and you got to choose from the 3.
And then you had to level up. Yeah.
Lord of Wolves was so good. I missed mm-hmm. that gun. I wish they made a year 2 version of it.
Steering the conversation back to the topic at hand. I like the idea that it would be lore heavy. That always excites me.
Why do we think it's lore heavy though?
Because of the letters. Because it's letters, and I assume you would read something if it's a letter.
I've read a lot of stuff in Destiny. Yeah. It's not as much lore as you thought.
I think it'd be interesting to learn more about Petrovenge and characters like that.
I'm curious if it, if it sets the stage for anything. We saw that with the No Time to Explain quest.
There is a new primary that was unlocked with one of the recent updates, and I'm kind of curious what that is. Yeah, there's a new primary... exotic that was added to your inventory that you can get with one of the recent updates.
Is it?
I'm missing Jade Jackrabbit, and then there's one mysterious one that nobody knows what it
is. But can you actually get it today, or this is just...
You can't get it today, so it's something coming.
Oh,
so,
this is in, like, the when you go to the menu for
exotics. When you go to your exotic thing.
Got it.
So that's pretty intriguing. Is this going to be enough content to hold people over?
So see, I think the bigger question is this. Like, you're describing, there's going to be 8 letters and therefore probably 8 quests or who mm-hmm. knows. But what is the event? Okay, that's the real question. Because if the event is 8 mysterious letters have shown at the hour, that's not what they normally do, actually.
Like, the description says, like, it's celebrating the year past and looking forward to the year coming in the future.
Yeah, that's what
the description. Like, what is that even? What does that
mean?
That's actually about the January 12th, like, go hang out in the tower. That's not about this event.
This event
is separate, and they're looking forward to Days of the Dawning.
Which is the event.
Which is all that we know about the event coming, yes.
So
it's called Days of the Dawning.
If you look at Festival of the Lost as the biggest, kind of tower event they've done, you would assume it's something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody shows up at the tower.
That would be pretty cool. That would be really interesting. I hope.
I guess the queen wouldn't necessarily come back.
What if it's
We don't know that she's dead, by the way.
No, but I don't think she's just going to stroll in without a great cutscene.
It's instead of Xur or anyone like that, it's one of the 9 or the 9.
Oh, that would be cool. There's eight letters, and then there's that one mysterious exotic that pops up. That's 9 things. Maybe
actually, might be honest. There's a quest with that 9 number that there's part of this, and we've seen that before, where there's like that 9th thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if more consoles, right, and it's 8 armor pieces and 1 new primary, that's 9 different
exotics. And it's called Days of the Dawning. Like, if we just want to think about what the dawn of, like, Destiny is, like, mm-hmm. the very beginning of it, seems to kind of all be wrapped up with the lore of the 9, right? Like, who these people are, what they do.
Yeah.
Why do they have all these powerful weapons that they mm-hmm. send their emissary to, like, give to us? Mm-hmm. Why are they invested in the Guardians?
Or, maybe this is a prequel to something larger. That would be really exciting.
The next game.
The prologue.
Well, not the next game, probably the next piece of big DLC. I think we're going to get another piece of DLC before we get the next game reveal. We'll get this. We'll get Days of the Dawning, and then I think we'll get a DLC drop. I don't think Days of the Dawning is going to be a raid. They said size to Festival of the Lost. We do know another piece is coming after that. So
if we look at the last events, the biggest stuff we got right was a flaming blue skull,
mm-hmm.
and then you could get a 320 helmet drop out of the SRL.
Yeah.
So, meaning if you compare size, that's what it means probably. So, mm-hmm. but I'm more inquisitive about what could the event itself be? Like, is it just a tower event?
What does it
letters?
Look like? Yeah.
And does it just send you back to previous quests where you do something a little different? Kind of like we saw with Black Spindle quest. Like, that would be cool though if there's a couple things like that as part of this.
Yeah.
The Black Spindle quest is still one of my favorite you know, moments, as hard as it can be.
Yeah, mine too.
You had that raid reward feeling of like, I beat it, you know, and I got this awesome reward.
Yeah, and these exotics could just be a bunch of 280 exotics. You know, they're not necessarily 320s, yeah. You know.
Although now that I think about it.
They better be at least 310.
If there's eight maybe letters.
Maybe 290.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it this way too. Like, I don't play all, you know, three characters, so mm-hmm. the letters don't apply to me necessarily across the board. So there's got to be more to it than just, you know, those eight letters.
Obviously. Yeah, that's true. So. It's really, really interesting. We're pretty intrigued by it. We want to hear more.
I hope that they are quests. One of the things I wish they'd done more is implement more quests as the Taken King went on, because when you first got into Taken King and you hit level 40, you still had so much to do because you had all these quests, and mm-hmm. they'd give you really cool rewards. And I wish there was more of that, and I wish they kept implementing those. Maybe this is the way they do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you could have any impact on trials, since it seems to relate to Mercury? Like,
ooh.
I mean, which, I don't know, but...
This event?
Yeah.
I don't think they would tie it to multiplayer only, you know? There would have to be, like, a single-player sort of experience. Not a single-player, but...
Wait, yeah. There's eight letters, and there's, like, this thing with nine. How many planets are there in the solar system? Is it eight
or nine? Oh, I don't
know.
Well, the eight winds. And
well,
the
planets.
Ninth,
it's like Moon, Earth, Mars.
Moon isn't a planet. Destination.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But destinations. Yeah. He just means destinations.
Yeah. Earth. It's fine. Earth, Mars, Venus. There's three, Sean.
No, not in Destiny. I mean, in the actual solar system.
Oh, okay, okay. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Now you just made us all look like idiots.
I think it's not.
I don't
want
to go through. I think there are nine.
Is Pluto still a planet?
I know.
Pluto's not a planet.
No, it went back and forth, I believe. And there's still the debate.
When we all grew up, Pluto was a planet.
Yeah.
For some of the listeners out there, maybe you grew up when Pluto was not a planet. But I think it's a planet again.
Yeah, I don't know.
In any event.
Yeah.
But there
Let's not talk about the solar system
but
anymore.
But remember, Bungie has that fascination with the number nine. So, of course, it's a theme across the board.
No, there,
eight wins,
Bungie,
ninth goes
no,
to the lighthouse,
Bungie,
eight letters, ninth brings
eight
you
planets,
to Sir.
Eight planets, or possibly nine.
Bungie has a fascination with number seven, not nine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're thinking seven. But,
no,
sorry,
but just nine
Destiny,
is thematically relevant
Destiny
in the game.
Has had a lot of nine.
The fascination with nine. Apologies.
Yeah.
Good correction.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we need more events. So, hey, I hope it's fun. And I hope actually it is mission-based. I mean, that's where – who knows? So.
We're going to find out more next week when they post their first update since the break. Let's move on to...
Nine planets in the solar system.
Okay, is Pluto still a planet? I need to know.
Yeah. Wait. Let me look.
Well,
no.
Well, no, it's not.
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune.
Moving on. So, Sean, you played games competitively.
I did. I do.
Activision purchased MLG, basically.
Yes.
And MLG was like... the place for competitive shooters for a long time.
Yeah, MLG, Major League Gaming, one of the first after like the fall of Cal and CPL competitive gaming organizations out there that was actually sustainable and did really good things for esports for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think this means for Destiny? Do you think Destiny is going to come into the fold?
I mean, I would love to see Destiny come into the fold as far as competitive gaming goes. Mm-hmm. MLG runs a really good organization, and like I said, because of the way that they treat esports and sort of the viewership that people that they have, like games like StarCraft and Halo and Counter-Strike and fighting games have really come into their own, and people love to go to MLG to watch that stuff, and it's just become its own thing.
It's still up for debate and announcement of like how Activision's handling the acquisition.
Yeah, like we have no idea.
Nobody said that it's only going to be Activision games.
Totally.
Now,
but I mean, we would speculate that it would be.
Well, Activision did say MLG is going to keep being MLG. You know, we're just kind of offering them support. But I mean, I would love to see Destiny in the competitive scene.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing. Is like me, as much as I love Destiny 2, and I think it's a pretty competitive game. But I think like in order for it to function under the sort of MLG esports banner, like competitive gaming, like the game itself isn't built for that right now, right? Like you would need dedicated servers and custom lobbies and stuff so that you could, you know, choose maps, veto maps, like set up teams and stuff. Like there's no like. If you're a really good Destiny team and you want to play against another really good Destiny team right now, you have to kind of game the system in order to queue against them or queue dodge other people in order to get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just can't, like, think of running a tournament based on that. It's impossible.
You need Bungie to come in and make you this custom thing, basically. Like, they kind of did this with Rift when Rift was first revealed. They had, like, a mini tournament. I think it was at Bungie. And they were able to kind of, like, set it up exactly the way they wanted it to be. So it was even competitively.
And even in with Halo, like, in the past, like, they run custom lobbies and they run it on LAN. And then they stream the LAN out to a stream, which people can view that on the internet. But all of the games are played on LAN so that there's minimal lag, minimal server interruption, anything that would affect the competitive level of gameplay. And Destiny just isn't in that space right now. Like, we don't have the tools necessary to create
the
environment
does.
Necessary for esports. But yeah, Bungie does, certainly. I mean, they made the game, right? But
you can't really
know,
practice without that environment.
Yeah, but we don't really know if, you know, Bungie operates pretty much autonomously, like from Activision. I don't know that Activision or anyone's going to force Bungie to make the game a little bit more adaptable for esports.
Oh,
as much as I would love to see it.
Yeah, I think Bungie would come in and, like, set this up for, you know, MLG or whoever wants to do it and let them go to town. I would love to see this, but let me ask you this. What maps would work?
Everyone except Cauldron.
I don't know. You really think they're all that, that even?
No, I mean, I think it really depends on what the game mode ends up being, right? Like, is it going to be 3v3, Trials of Osiris, Revives and stuff? Or is it more like 6v6, Clash, Control? Like, or is it a mix, right? Like,
I would love Trials of Osiris.
Oh, I mean,
that would be great for MLG.
I think Trials would be really cool. Like, that format works really well, I think, and it's more intense and more sort of team-oriented. But at the same time, like, I really love 6v6 Control, and it's, like, a different play style. It's, like, very active. It's very, like, you know, from a spec, like, what you got to recognize is, like, while games are fun to play just in general, what makes an esport really successful as an esport is engaging. Yeah, exactly, being fun to watch. And games like Counter-Strike and, you know, Dota and League of Legends and fighting games are really fun to watch, even for people who don't play those games. And you got to make Destiny work in the same way. And I'm just not sure what that means, right? Like, you'd have to test it out and figure it out.
I think Trials would be the best, actually, for an MLG-type game.
I think for level of gameplay and competitive, like, sort of, like, the skill-oriented stuff, yeah, I think Trials is probably the best suited.
Yeah.
But it'd be real fun to watch a great team wreck a Control, you know, or like, I don't know. It just, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of game types out there. Like, look at competitive Halo for a long time. Like, it's not just Team Slayer, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of Oddball and Capture the Flag in there, and that's part of the rotation. And as a team, you have to be good at all of those game types in order to be a successful Halo team. I would love to be able to see Destiny teams put through the same sort of ringer, right? Like, you got to be good at Control. You got to be good at Clash. You got to be good at, you know, Trials, and that would be super cool.
Definitely. All right, Sean, let's move.
That's Destiny 2 is what I'm thinking. To build out all the stuff you're talking about, it could be a while. And whether or not Activision would really make that influence just because they bought MLG, I think it's more what you were saying. I mean, if Bungie is thinking about it, and I'm sure they are, and they're serious, they'll build it out for the next iteration. You know?
I mean,
we talked a lot about it on the show, too. Like, we would all love those tool sets for a game like Destiny.
I would love the tool sets, but I also think that in terms of just, like, esports have, or competitive games, more than any other games out there, I think, have very, very long legs, right? Because with a high skill ceiling, it takes a long, long time to get up to the skill ceiling because it takes time to get good, right? It's skill-oriented.
Tell me about it.
Like, that's why I have 2,000 hours in Counter-Strike, because there's still more for me to... I'm still not that good, like, in the grand scheme of things, right? And I want to be good, and so I put more and more time into it. And that's just how it is with fighting games and first-person shooters and stuff like that, and MOBAs. If you want, and Destiny's a game like that already, people put tons of time into it. What would be a better way, a more engaging way for more of the fan base to kind of even want to play more is if it was competitive and if it was built for a long-term endeavor like esports is. Like, it would just be good for the environment. It would be good for the game.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that there are Crucible stars out there, you know, whether it's Triple Rec or Goth or whatever, the fact that, you can't just have them put together two teams and go at it with each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's a perfect example of, like, people would watch that. But
totally.
We can't yet. There's just tools aren't there.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, moving on to the final subject. It's again about Activision, you know, moving into the movie industry this time, though. Does that mean a Destiny movie is on the way? They have confirmed Call of Duty, Skylanders, Diablo, and StarCraft are of interest at this time. I would love to see a Destiny movie, and I think it would work really well in that space.
You're not going to see one anytime soon.
No. I mean, this is way off.
Way off.
But like the franchise, I think, is definitely there's going to be a Destiny 2 and probably a Destiny 3 because Destiny 1 sold so well for Activision.
I think a lot rides on the Warcraft movie. Like a lot.
What about the Assassin's Creed movie? Oh, that's Ubisoft.
Duh. I mean, well, movies in general.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a lot
The big ones coming. Assassin's Creed, Ratchet and Clank, and Warcraft.
Yeah. So yeah. Here's the thing, right? So
and
traditionally, video game movies have been real bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real bad. Like terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're even the ones that are commercially successful are not critically successful, mm-hmm. right? Like except for one, which is Mortal Kombat,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
which is the only good video game movie maybe ever made.
It's kind of not great.
No. I would say that the first Mortal Kombat is legitimately a good movie because it doesn't take itself all that seriously. Right. And the parts that are campy about it does that tongue in cheek, you know, like
Raiden it's not the
is so
worst.
Funny in that
Your
movie.
Soul
you
know? Is mine.
Yeah, like it's just a little. Yeah. It's exactly. It's just it as over good. The top mm. as it needs to be, right? But a lot of video game movies aren't like that, and I think that we've gotten to that point where games are now mainstream enough to where people look at video games as the next opportunity for movies to capitalize on a big blockbuster franchise, the way they have with comic books, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes. yeah.
they look at video games as this is potentially the new comic book movie, those are Hollywood's blockbusters mm-hmm. now. That's the modern day blockbuster is
yeah.
the comic book movie, the superhero movie. So I mean, like we're at this point now where we think that that's where video games may be, but we haven't had a good example of it yet. And I think people are looking towards the Assassin's Creed movie and the Warcraft movie to prove that. And I don't know that if they're critically or commercially successful, mm-hmm. if we'll see smaller games like Destiny make it to the big screen.
I think those two movies, they're going to tank. I'm just going to call it right now. I think Ratchet and Clank is going to be fantastic.
I'll bet you Warcraft makes a ton of money, even if it's not good.
It'll make money. It'll be a bad movie, though.
Yeah, but
Assassin's
Hollywood
Creed will
only
make
cares
money.
About money.
You're saying critically tank, yeah.
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 Assassin's Creed, it'll
Here's
make money. It'll tank.
I'll bet you, if we're making predictions about the mm-hmm. Warcraft movie, I'm going to go on the record to say that I bet you it makes money and it is a commercial success. Not a critical success, but not bad. Like, I'll bet you it'll be very middle of the road.
It'll be like a 7. Maybe a 6.
On the IGN scale, 7's good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like maybe a 6.5.
In my mind, like a 6.5 or a 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're guessing based on a trailer.
Yeah, we're guessing. Total speculation. This is just feeling,
Thanks
right?
Thanks for the review, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I actually have a lot of faith in Duncan Jones. He's a great director, I think. Mm-hmm. I really like Source Code, and obviously Moon is amazing, right? But I do think that, like, from the trailer, I get the sense that Blizzard's been real...
Oh yeah,
hands-on with the material, and I don't know that that works very well in Hollywood. So time will tell with that movie, and same with the Assassin's Creed movie. But as far as Destiny goes, like I think it would be. I am a huge sci-fi guy, and I think the mm-hmm. world and the characters and the lore would work really well in that. But at the same time, like if I have to bet on where Activision is going to go with movies in terms of sci-fi properties, I have to put StarCraft first above Destiny.
Well, StarCraft's on the list already.
But I mean. It's like, I don't think they'd do both.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Even StarCraft, though, it's just like, I do think they're both examples where, like, the world and the material to deal with, like, it's pretty good,
mm-hmm.
and the names are strong. But, like, I don't know. Like, do you really, like, there's no, like, hero character. You're super stoked.
Mm-hmm. Jim Raynor, man.
Yeah, but, like, StarCraft isn't even that popular in esports anymore, right? Like,
it's, yeah, you're
comparatively.
Right. Comparatively. Viewership has come down a lot.
Nobody's freaking out about StarCraft anymore. And, like,
even the Halo stuff, like, it's all okay. None of it's been phenomenal yet.
Well, that's all Microsoft's
Yeah, but at
fault,
least,
though.
But let's just use that example. Like, mm-hmm. Halo, you've got Master Chief. It's very set up to be, mm-hmm. like, it's sort of clear to everyone why you would make a Halo movie.
Sean is right, though. They did pull the Neil Blomkamp film, which I'm guessing would have been great.
Yeah.
You know,
but my point I'm trying to make here is when I look at Destiny, there's just not – there's a ton that you could build it into something big. But when I look at it today, I'm like, I don't even know what is going on in this world and what the Traveler's about. And, like, there's nobody I would point to other than Cade's comedic relief.
As a lead.
As, like, I would watch that character, you know. And
Petrovenge.
Well, so that's kind of my thing is like you have with StarCraft, I think you have better, stronger main characters that drive the story forward as opposed to Destiny. Although I love the world that Destiny's established and like the characters in it, you're right. None of them strike me as like a main character the way like Jim Raynor from StarCraft would. Because like Jim Raynor, and then I mean not even just in terms of the humans, right? But you have Jim Raynor and his relationship with Sarah Kerrigan, who's the leader of the Zerg and like the psychic ghost who he has a relationship and a history with. Mm-hmm. And then you have Zeratul and Artanis from the Protoss. And it's just like all of the pieces that tell that story well in StarCraft and StarCraft Brood War and leading up into StarCraft II, like all of them are there and they're, I don't know, in my mind, they're really, that is a movie right there.
Yeah, you know? There's plenty to latch onto. But that's my point with Destiny. It's like, there's not a ton to latch
onto. There's not,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's the thing is like, Destiny is kind of one of these things where it's like, all you need from the game in terms of the movie is to set up the story and the parameters of which the story evolves in. Like, you could be a no-name guardian. The movie could be about a no-name guardian, or it could be about just a guardian.
About three guardians.
General. Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Whatever it is. And then maybe they explore like what the Traveler is or who
but
he is
like,
and all that
stuff. I don't know. Yeah, when I look at Halos or Halo or StarCraft, at least I'm like, okay, I like Alien. Mm-hmm. So you can do something with those movies that's like that or something in that vein. But looking at Destiny, it's just all over. It could be anything right now.
Yeah. If you take a look at the talent that Activision announced recently, Stacey Scher, Nick Van Dyke, and Stacey worked on The Hateful Eight, Pulp Fiction, Django Unchained, Garden State, Aaron Brockovich. So, like, she has...
Yeah,
like,
longtime producer, big Hollywood credits. That's kind of... Mm-hmm. You brought up Microsoft before in Halo. I'm as big an advocate of anyone in the world that a Halo movie would be a huge critical and commercial success, but the problem is Microsoft is too hands-on with it. They won't let Hollywood just take it away. Mm-hmm. At least with Activision Blizzard, we have them creating a new wing of the studio, or you know, AB Studios inside of Activision, having a Hollywood person who's tried and true and worked on big movies come in and deal with the materials, that gives me more hope already, right?
Yeah, and actually, you know, thinking about it, it's like I was just rereading the press release, and we always latch on to the idea of the big film, the blockbuster, but actually, definitely, I would say Destiny and Call of Duty TV shows. Great candidates, you know, because that's place where you can, you know, you have so much time to develop and create your own narratives in this awesome world.
Skylanders, that's going to be a TV show.
Yeah, but I actually think on the TV side, which tends to build towards making it a movie eventually, you have a pretty good chance of those. Mm-hmm. So actually, yeah, maybe Destiny, a television show, way more behind that. Because again, like you can start from zero. Like a movie, I just feel like none of that's there yet.
Call of Duty would be a movie.
It's
StarCraft would be a movie. I don't see either of those as a TV show.
Don't either. I also don't see Destiny as a TV show. I don't see sci-fis.
Destiny.
In
Let's talk about that then.
Well,
why
just
not
think
Destiny
about
as
it.
A TV show.
Think about like okay, as a creative
production cost or
as
what?
As a creative person.
Louis C.K. as the Titan.
Think about what it would
Jerry
make.
Jerry Seinfeld as the Hunter.
Or think about what it would take to make something on the scale
Sean,
of what's
a three-camera shoot in the Vanguard. And it's basically
it's a sitcom. Just talking to each other.
Exactly.
Cade's like yelling at
Why do we decrypt these engrams?
Yeah.
Why don't we use them to build
laugh
things?
Tracks. It's a comedy.
This engram, it just won't decrypt. It decrypted into nothing.
God. Oh, God. Varric shows up. Oh, man. Varric is drunk again.
Yeah.
God is.
Exactly. God. Played by Destin. Oh, God is.
My voice acting talents are available, should they be required.
But on the serious side, did you mean because of the production cost?
Yeah, well, I mean, just like how many, think about it in all of history, how many successful, long-running sci-fi TV shows are there? It's not a lot, right? Sci-fi
Firefly,
is tough to do.
Firefly, wait, they canceled it.
Sci-fi as a genre is tough to do on TV, right? Because it's...
Or fantasy.
It's hard, right? Like... spaceships, lots of visual effects, like big themes.
Those costs are coming down, though, with
She-Hulk. It costs a lot, and you have to do one episode a week? Like, that's really hard,
man. Yeah,
but
it's big, big production up front. You release, you know.
Yeah. I'm not saying it can't be done.
Netflix.
I'm not saying it can't be done, right? Battlestar Galactica. Like, there's just not a lot of them. That's what I'm saying.
It's a huge risk, is what you're saying.
And even Battlestar Galactica is done so smartly because it feels big budget, but if you watch behind the scenes documentaries about how that's made, like that ship is real small, the set, and they shoot the hell out of it. Like every angle, different lighting, and they make it look like it's a lot of different places when it's not.
Right.
It's like one
You just
room.
Can't, in my mind, you can't get away with that when you're making Destiny. Like you can't skip out on big locations and big sets and awesome ships and stuff because that's what Destiny is.
You build the tower, you have a lot of like story there, and then like you every once in a while you go somewhere. You know, and that's like a big moment for
each
season.
That's the thing is like you even need like every three episodes you would basically need like a huge action set piece because that's what Destiny is. It's a shooter, man. It's about like being in the trenches and fighting alien races and destroying all these enemies. And it's like without that every three episodes, like that's just super hard. Like to me, to me, the movie, like what Destiny needs to be as a movie in terms of tone and scope and scale is Edge of Tomorrow. Have you guys seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Edge of Tomorrow is amazing. If you haven't seen it, go watch it right now. Everyone wrote it off because it's Tom Cruise and it came out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I wanted to see Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, everyone wrote it off because
I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone wrote it off because it's Tom Cruise and it's a sci-fi action movie. And it came out very similarly timed as another sci-fi Tom Cruise action movie that was not that good. Oblivion. Yeah. But Edge of Tomorrow.
Oblivion. It wasn't perfect. It was.
No, I like it too. Me and Aransky talk about this all the time. Aransky hates it. I think it's pretty good. But yeah, Edge of Tomorrow is an awesome movie that's super smartly done. That's what it would have to be in terms of practical effects, suits and all that stuff, awesome action sequences, and a really cool story. That is really tough to execute on a weekly basis on the cost that it would probably take to produce a season. So for me, Destiny's a big screen thing.
Yeah. It depends on how you handle it. But you are right. Destiny begs, I think, more effects, bigger set pieces. But like anything, you can take some small-scale thing and turn it into something you really care about.
Yeah, Destiny the movie is just SRL. It's a racing thing. It's Fast and Furious.
Oh my God.
In the Destiny universe. I love it. That's what I want to do.
It gets me excited to hear you guys so excited about Destiny as like even a TV show or film though. You know?
I think the world's there and I think people love what's there in it enough that they would want to support something like that.
Yeah. That's it for this episode, everybody. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for putting
Fran, what have we got to plug today?
Oh, the usual. You can catch us on IGN and our leave a review, you know, on the app stores or wherever you're checking this stuff out. But I don't know. I'm not full of plugs today. I just I do.
Go.ign.com/store for the shirts.
That's right.
And check out our Facebook group, Fireteam Chat on Facebook. They asked that we plug them a little more.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, you guys are awesome. So,
I was just on there last night chatting with some folks. So
yeah.
It's a great place.
It's a good group.
Real quick shout out to my friends, Bodom Reaper and Orbs. And
Bodom Reaper actually is the one that sent through the Days of the Dawning letter suggestion.
Good tip there. Jackie Nicole and Atheon, all these guys who helped me and Brian Raid yesterday.
Yeah.
They did not want to do it, and I made them do it.
Kingsfall?
Yeah.
Nice.
I just missed it on reset,
and
I have a lot to do this weekend, so I'm not going to be able to play.
Oh,
so
nice.
I made them do it last night, and they were all playing this Ark dinosaur raising game.
Oh,
yeah.
And Jackie was like, I want to raise my raptors, and you guys are making me raid? And I was like, yeah, we need you. So, yeah.
Right.
Thank you, team.
Very nice.
All right. Well, that's it for this time. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.